Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. 1 hour down, two to go. It's Saturday evening, December 4th, and I am sitting here live tonight inside of the Political Cesspool studio at WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, AM 1380, our flagship station. That's where we're coming from tonight as we bring you this episode of our award-winning show. We're also, of course, broadcasting to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, people driving around in their cars in Utah and in Oregon and who knows where all else, tuned in tonight as are people from around the world listening via the Internet, our live simulcast and broadcast archives available right now at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Keith Alexander, what a great job he did tonight during the first hour. Now joining me to co-host for the duration of the second hour, another Political Cesspool member of the hosting staff, Mr. Bill Rowland. Bill, how are you?
James, I just couldn't be better. As you know, the weather's getting cooler here. It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas, and so my spirits are up, even if the news isn't always as we'd like it.
And we've got some of that news to bring to your attention this hour. But like we did at the beginning of the show, we're not going to get into that directly. We're going to get into that in just a couple of minutes. I want to remind everybody that tonight is Political Cesspool Fan Appreciation Night. You know, we are now in our 7th year of broadcasting. 7 years we've been doing this, and it's only gotten bigger, better, more acclaimed, more news headlines. We have had a very good run, and we're only getting stronger. And tonight is Fan Appreciation Night. And one of the things we're doing, or I guess the main thing we're doing to honor the fans of this show, an ever-growing listenership, is having this virtual party, which has been hosted by the Council of Conservative Citizens. It is happening right now. In fact, we're just now in the middle of it, thanks to Kyle Rogers, the intrepid webmaster of the Council of Conservative Citizens. Folks, you're invited to join us right now. As we broadcast live, we are participating in an interactive chat with fans of this show. This live chat room is on right now at the Council of Conservative Citizens website. So all you got to do, if you're listening to us online rather than in the car, just log on to the CFCC website, cofcc.org, cofcc.org, and just hop into the chat room. Over 100 people in there right now. We've been having a really good time with them. Bill, are you there? I can't see from this side of the studio what you're doing on that laptop.
Well, I am here, and of course I'm keeping a low profile only because, you know, we've moved our location now, and we're in the process of the move, and frankly, where we are now, we better keep a low profile at least while we're on the air, because it's really in the middle of enemy territory.
That's right. The WLRM radio studios have moved. We're still here on 1380, but at a different location, in a much swankier location, I must say. And if anyone is ever in the Memphis area and wants to take a gander, we just might meet up with you. So send me an email. And we've done that in the past, Bill. You know, fans of this show come in, they want to get together with us, and every now and then we do just that. But I tell you, right now, if you want to talk to us, the place to be is the Council of Conservative Citizens website, cofcc.org. Lots of people there, and we want there to be a few more. And we've got a lot of news that we want to bring to your attention tonight. But first, we have a special caller on the line, a fellow host here at Liberty News Radio, which is, of course, the network that syndicates our program. And it's David. David, how are you, my friend?
Well, I'm doing well, Mr. Edwards. I just wanted to call in and thank you for sending the email with the article titled The FRC, the KKK, and the SPLC. I found that article to be very, very interesting, and I thank you.
Well, no, thank you. I got your email actually just this afternoon, and I had intended to reply to you. You sent it a couple of days ago. I've been busy with you know, putting Christmas lights up on the house, and my family went to a Christmas parade today, and so I haven't been online, but I got that.
Oh, that's all wonderful things that you're doing, and certainly more important. I wanted to just say that this this Dan Savage. I mean, the vicious heart of these sodomites is really displayed in this letter that he wrote, or this posting that he made, where he admitted to going around licking office doorknobs and bathroom doorknobs.
Yeah, that's right. This was something he bragged about. What David's talking about, this article that he's mentioning that I sent out to our email list, is also featured tonight on our blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org. So if you haven't read it yet, I encourage you to do so.
Oh, I have. I went through it and I listened to the different short video clips in there as well, because
right.
I wanted to really get an insight into this, and it appears to me that this is something that, even though this happened a long time ago, this was a man that was, this Gary Bauer is a man that was officially campaigning for a very significant office in our nation. As a matter of fact, the highest office. And I think charges should be brought against this sodomite, because he was conducting a warfare, a germ warfare.
Yeah, this is when Gary Bauer ran for one of his campaigns for president 10 years ago, and this radical homosexual activist, Dan Savage, who is a regular guest on CNN to lecture Christians about morality. He is, of course, a non-Christian. He's just, you know, a radical heathen. But he's on to lecture us about morality, and he, as an enemy of you know, everything that Bauer supposedly stands for, went to the Bauer campaign offices in Iowa while he was infected with the flu, and bragged on his own website about licking the doorknobs and licking the pins, hoping to catch spread his disease to everyone that was working on behalf of Bauer's candidacy. So this is the kind of stuff we're up against.
Well, at the very least, it's very revealing about how much of an effort a sodomite will make in order to destroy or damage someone else's life. If nothing else, it displays that clearly from his own writing, from his own words. And I would like to just say that some years ago, a man gave me a book that he had put into publication, and it was at the time when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was first being considered and ultimately brought into being voted up and brought into law. And it's a book that had research about the actual activities and the statistics and so forth about crime within the sodomite community, as well as diseases and sicknesses and so forth.
Right.
But and primarily what the conclusion was is that the statistics are overwhelming, that they are exactly what the people that have a common sense and a decent education and are decent people have been saying continuously, is they are the prime spreaders of disease in the world, all over
well,
the world.
Yeah, and unfortunately, David, now they have become, at least according to the SPLC and the so-called mainstream media, they're the new minority. They have victim status. They are the preferred minority, and all of us, decent Christian folks, we're the true enemy, if you go by what the SPLC and the media says. Thanks for the call, Dave. And folks, be sure to listen to David's show here on the Liberty News Radio Network every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. He does
a great
job. Well,
thank you for sending me that email, and good evening to you, and I'll be listening to the rest of the show.
Thank you, buddy. Misunderstand me, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. Bill Rowland co-hosting with me this hour. And there was a story that we picked up on here in Memphis this week. And even though this story originates from Memphis, if you just change the name of the perpetrator and the victim, and you change the name of the city, it's a story that's told across America every single day. I wrote an article about it for the Political Cesspool website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, entitled parents raise your kids the old-fashioned way. I asked the rhetorical question, what is wrong with people these days? They have to quit letting the television raise their kids and take the time and have the guts to do the right thing. Raise their kids with old-fashioned values and common sense. It's unnatural and downright dangerous for whites to mate with non-whites, in my opinion. There's no more important lesson that you can instill in your children. This used to be taught in virtually every white home in America, but not anymore. Well, it's time that this traditional moral value made a comeback. It might not be popular in pop culture, although it is popular, I think, in everyday life. It might not be politically correct, and it might make your preacher cry, but it can sure save lives. And here's the story. A former Crichton basketball player was the ex-boyfriend who killed his girlfriend and her father. And the news story from the Memphis newspaper reads, "The mystery behind the Thanksgiving Day tragedy that left three people dead began to unfurl on Sunday as police identified the man who they say killed his ex-girlfriend and her father before taking his own life. Late Thanksgiving night at an apartment complex here in Memphis, police say that Derek Boykin, 27, shot and killed Brittany Davis, 22, and her father, Ed Davis. As police units responded, Boykin then barricaded himself in his apartment and shot himself to death." Bill, you know, traditionally, when you have a mixed-race couple, you have a, you know, an overweight sow of a white girl with some real thin black guy. That's what you used to think of. Now, you know, with the TV continuing to raise kids rather than the parents, you have some stunners going and trying to be culturally in vogue by practicing in this sort of behavior. And more often than not, it ends like this. Bill, what's the rest of the story here?
Well, first, here's a background on Brittany Davis, and let me say that this was a family that was known to my family. These people weren't anonymous news items in the paper, anonymous, you know, strangers who are living in some world we don't know about. These are people my family knew. Ed Davis was a good old boy by every definition. I lived in a rural part of the county, had raised his daughter properly, had done everything that a good father does, and flew a Confederate battle flag in front of his house. So his daughter, Brittany, was a student at a college here called Crichton College. It's a Christian, so-called Christian college, nominally so. And, of course, just like so many Christian institutions, the Crichton College environment has changed from that of wholesome Christianity to overt cultural Marxism. The director of the college at the time, I guess he was the president, Larry Lloyd, had made it his personal mission as a Christian, small c Christian, to break down barriers and to bring people together and to make sure that racism wasn't going to infest his college campus. Because as you know, the sin that we all learn about from Christianity now isn't in the Bible, and that is the sin of racism, which, having been created by communists, has now entered into the scripture. But it was very much his purpose to break down barriers and to get rid of all of these notions of race, because it's just a social construct. And, of course, anybody who says anything about race makes the baby Jesus cry, as we often say in the blog. So, you know, here's Larry Lloyd on his self-righteous mission to mix blacks with whites. Well, you know, again, it was a one-sided mission, because whites were expected at Crichton College not only to go out and tutor and mentor blacks out in the community, but also blacks who were falling behind at Crichton College. Now, there is no information on how Brittany got to know this ghetto monster, Derek Boykin, but he was obviously a Christian. I mean, a good Christian boy at college. He was going to a Christian college, so he must be a Christian, right? Well, in all likelihood, and I'm speculating here, Brittany, when she was at college, the thing she feared most was to be labeled an awful racist, because that would be the same as being labeled a murderer or an adulterer or an abominator. You know, this is the label that nobody at a Christian college will stand for anymore. They will not endure it. So I imagine that to avoid the stigma of being called a racist on this wholesome, tolerant Christian college campus, that Boykin pressured her into going out on a date, and finally, to avoid any conflict with her administrators or her professors or anyone else, she caved in and started to dating. Now, I can tell you absolutely that her father would not have approved of this relationship. And remember, this is not one of those fat, obese jello balls that has no daddy and don't know where daddy was or is and goes out and somehow, you know, gets self-esteem from dating ghetto trash. But no, this was a girl who was raised in a wholesome household. And so apparently at some point, either because her father found out and said, I don't care what Crichton College says, you're not going to go out with this ghetto monster, you're going to break up with him, or because of, for her own regret, Brittany broke up with Derek Boykin. Well, what's his Mr. Christian reaction? Is it to be tolerant? Is it to be understanding? Is it to be a good Christian and forgive? No. He stalks the girl. He goes after the girl. He harasses the girl. He is a predator. Once again, returned to the feral state of ghetto predator. And he stalks her, and what happened, what's not really known in the news, is that Brittany had apparently tried to call 911 when Derek Boykin showed up at her apartment and began to menace her. Well, the phone hung up either because he hung it up or because she did, and 911 called back but could not get an answer. At that point, somehow Brittany's father comes into the picture, whether the 911 operator called him or he found out, and immediately put his wife in the truck, and he and his wife drove to Brittany's apartment. When he arrived at Brittany's apartment, he got out of the truck and went to the door, and whether he heard a commotion inside, we don't know. We do know that at some point, Brittany's roommates had come to the apartment and also were being held hostage inside the apartment by this ghetto monster. And when he began to bang on the door, and immediately Brittany said, "That's my daddy," ran for the door, managed to get the door open just in time to receive two bullet holes in the back of her head, and she fell dead into her father's arms. Subsequently, Mr. Boykin, again, you know, forgetting he was a Christian, apparently, forgetting all of his Christian education, shot and killed Brittany's father. Brittany's mother remained in the truck. She couldn't get out and go to find out what happened to Brittany because she's blind. And Mr. Davis had to take her everywhere because she's blind. So here's a blind mother who unknowingly has lost her only child and her husband to this single vile ghetto monster. This one single act because, and I'm going to lay the blame where it belongs. It belongs on Christian institutions that teach that race mixing is healthy and good and godly. These are the vile abominators who really should be blamed for deaths like that of Brittany Davis and her father because they're teaching lies. These so-called Christians are lying to students and pressuring them and putting them under threat.
Right, Bill, hold on right there. Much more to come on this story. We're just now beginning to scratch the surface. Stay tuned, everybody. And by the way, if you're online, join us in the chat room, the virtual fan party, cfcc.org. Be right back.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. We have been talking about a very disturbing story, a story that repeats itself every day across this country, and that is a case not just of interracial dating but interracial murder, and the statistics are overwhelming, folks. When the murders happen, it's black men killing the white women, raping them, you name it. The case here was a young stunner, a 22-year-old, very attractive college girl, somehow got mixed up into dating the star black athlete at their small Christian college, And at the end of the day, she's murdered. Her father is murdered by the black boyfriend, and then he commits suicide. Obviously, it could have all been avoided, but as Bill mentioned before going into that last break, this is what is being pushed, not just by the media, not just by radical leftists, but now also, sadly, by our own institutions, including the Christian church, the big Christian churches. Now, this is a Christian radio program. We're all believers here. We're talking about the apostate church and these apostate Christian colleges like Creighton here in Memphis. And so, Bill, getting back to the nuts and bolts of this thing, here is, as you mentioned, this hardworking Southern man sacrificing to send his daughter to a very expensive, small Christian school so she doesn't have to go to the public colleges and be surrounded by these types of people. And at the end of the day, she spared nothing except a horrific death.
She ended up, if she'd have gone to a public college like the University of Memphis or UT or some major university, these schools, no matter how politically correct they are, do have in place very, very strong prohibition against harassment, against pressure being put on students to go on dates. You know, you can go and complain at one of these colleges, and they'll take action. Now, I don't know whether Brittany actually went to Larry Lloyd and said anything, or went to the administration and said anything about Derek Boykin, but I can assure you of one thing. They would have given her a nice big smile and said, well, just what would Jesus do? What's the Christian thing you should do? What, don't you think you better talk to him? I mean, they're going to try to downplay this as if nothing happened, as if it wasn't really important. And, well, how could it be? Because Derek Boykin obviously was a good Christian boy going to a Christian college. How could anybody possibly suspect him of having malice or having evil intentions? The fact is that these blacks choose these colleges because they get easy prey. It's easy prey to go after these white girls who have been brainwashed and have had their brains soaked with this sugar-coated Christianity, which teaches that you have to be a doormat, that you have to be a plaything, that you have to be an object to all the other races on earth to be a real Christian, which is the nastiest lie that anybody could even tell. Not even the communists would tell a lie like that. They may talk about equality and multiculturalism and all these things, but you know the fact is that it's the Christian colleges are teaching that you must be an object for all the other races of the world to exploit to be a real Christian. And of course, you can't be a racist and be a real Christian, even though racism would have been a lifesaver in this instance. But let's talk about Brittany.
A so-called racist, of course, Bill.
Right, right. But I mean, I would rather be called a racist than to have a tombstone over my head. Isn't it better to be a racist and save a life than to be a non-racist and die for that silly cause just so you can prove that you're not something? That's the kind of mentality these Christian colleges teach. And as we know, this is also going on at Liberty University, where the new spokesman
right.
for Liberty University is a crotch-grabbing slum mop from, you know, again, it's this hip-hop ghetto culture. It's what we're supposed to believe is a good, wholesome Christian way to live.
If anyone has ever been anything
like that. The gangster culture, that's what we're supposed to see as Christian. And yet this is the very kind of thing that old conservative and wholesome and upright Liberty University is promoting. A crotch-grabbing hip-hop ghetto slug. This is who is their new representative. So that means that how deeply that's ingrained in that college. If they're willing to bring it out and advertise it and promote it and glamorize it, this is the mentality at that college. Just as it was with Larry Lloyd at Creighton College saying, there's nothing too much you can do to help this black kid. And do you really think that Derek Boykin was going to save her virtue from marriage? That he was really looking after her best interest and he really loved her so much that he wasn't going to touch her until they were a married couple in the eyes of God? Of course not. He was grabbing and getting whatever he could with the full support and the absolute sanctification of Creighton College and Larry Lloyd. And you don't think that they're going to do anything to try to stop black boys from molesting and fondling black girls, Christian college or no Christian college. You're living in some sort of fantasy world. This is where Lloyd is. You know, it's a fantasy world to believe that you're going to turn savages into Christians simply by treating them like Christians. It doesn't work that way. and it never will. You know, this isn't Darkest Africa where cannibals are being given the gospel. These are black kids who have been raised in or around churches all their lives. They've been around churches all their lives. And this is the kind of Christian that's being produced. So I firmly lay her death at the doorstep of Creighton College, and I want to know what Mr. Lloyd has to say about it, because so far he's kept his mouth shut. You can believe for sure if there had been some black kid that had been murdered or killed by some white kid, that Larry Lloyd would have been the first on the news denouncing racism and calling for justice and prayer for the family's loss. He said nothing, nothing about the loss of Brittany Davis or her father. He is, you know, he has put himself in a little office somewhere where he's going to continue to work his little schemes to break down racial barriers, because, you know, that's the righteous thing the cultural Marxist Christians do. And, you know, her death is just another stepping stone towards achieving the great goal of an aracial, colorblind society. So that's where that's going. And don't expect to hear anything from Creighton College. There won't be any big memorial service there for Brittany. There won't be any outcry against the murder. You know, the commercial appeal ran the story. And, of course, it's all about interviewing Brittany, supposedly her friend, and Derek's friend, and they all talk about they seem like a normal couple. Well, Derek seemed sad. Derek was depressed. What about Derek? It's all about Derek. Not about the girl who dies. Not about the girl who's dead. It's all about Derek. And what could have gone wrong with Derek? Because, you know, he's a Christian. Isn't that the same as blaming her for her own death, if you think about it? When you only concentrate on what the killer does and how his mood was and what his attitude was, isn't that the same as saying, Brittany, what did you do wrong to upset Derek?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's not much more I can say to add to that which Bill has already presented you.
One more thing. Let me tell you one more thing about this family and what this loss really meant. When Ed Davis died and his daughter died, he left behind a blind wife. He, his wife, and Brittany had been taking care of Ed Davis's father, who has Alzheimer's. So now the only two people left to support each other are an old man with Alzheimer's and a lady who is blind. And all day on Thanksgiving, Mr. Davis, the elder Davis, did know and was able to comprehend that his son would die. And he spent all day Thanksgiving Day weeping and wailing in his front yard. I want that picture in the minds of these so-called Christians who say that race mixing is healthy and good and Christian. I want that picture burned into your brain. And I hope with all my heart that Larry Lloyd, the man who ran Creighton College, has that on his conscience, because otherwise he has no conscience.
Well, and again, you know, sadly, it's not just a personal preference here on behalf of us and other paleo conservatives. This is, you know, the FBI statistics on crime prove us right here, if for no other reason than those statistics themselves. And we wrote about this story at the Political Cesspool website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And again, folks, this is a story that is retold every single day. When you put yourself in a position to be murdered. And unfortunately, this girl did. And, you know, there's no taking that back. And
my new motto, James, is racism saves lives. Racism saves lives. Don't be fooled by the hype.
Well, and again, you got to, as Bill said, lay the blame at these misguided and foolhardy Christian universities who have, you know, drank the Kool-Aid. We saw it at Liberty University. Liberty University, the Jerry Falwell flagship there, and we put that video up a few weeks ago. The brand new student recruitment video commissioned by the university itself has this black rapper grabbing his crotch and hooping and hollering and shucking and jiving. And, you know, this is what Christianity has come to. My faith is better than that. The faith that has guided our people is better than that. This is apostasy. We'll be back with more right after this.
Political Cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl,
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Bill Rowland called me earlier this week and said that there was a story he really wanted to bring to the audience tonight. And believe it or not, as well prepared as he was for that last story dealing with the horrific interracial murder here in Memphis, that was not the story that Bill was most animated by. Bill, why don't you tell us what that story is?
Very quickly, James. About 6 months ago, two West Memphis, Arkansas policemen pulled over a white van, and when this van was pulled over, two men inside the van got into a confrontation with the policeman, and the two policemen were shot and killed. Shortly thereafter, the two men in the van were surrounded by police and killed. Well, this could be a story anywhere in the country, except that one of the patrolmen who was killed was the son of the chief of police of West Memphis, Chief Bob Powdert. And Chief Powdert, quite understandably, has been grief-stricken over the death of his son, perfectly understandable, and certainly I know that most of the people here in Memphis, if not everyone, shared Chief Powdert's grief over his loss, because it was truly very sad. And the other patrolman as well being killed, very sad and very hard on the West Memphis Police Department. However, Chief Powdert, I would suppose, in trying to deal with his grief, agreed to make a video about the incident, in particular, the allegation, or at least the suspicion, that the two people who were responsible for the killing, a father and son, whose last name was Kane, were the ones who were responsible for the killing of the two police officers, were members of a group called the Sovereign Citizens Movement. And as many people, listeners to this show, will realize, the Sovereign Citizens Movement is not a group. It's a collection of ideas that some people share, and whether rightly or wrongly, there has never been, up until the incident with these two policemen, a known case where the Sovereign Citizens, as a group, ever carried out any form of violence. Nevertheless, Chief Powdert, feeling that he needed to do something on behalf of his son, agreed to make an instructional, educational video about sovereign citizens and what they believe and why they would be a danger to fellow policemen. This video, and this is, to me, very frightening, was produced by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Chief Powdert, in collaboration with them, made this video where he makes opening statements about he's doing this to try to protect other policemen so they don't suffer the same fate as his son. And as I say, while we understand Chief Powdert's desire to do this, I certainly would have to say it was extremely misguided, because it's benefiting and legitimating a group that is absolutely hostile to Christianity, thoroughly malicious towards white Christian conservatives in particular, and has been spewing and broadcasting and spreading falsehoods about different groups and organizations for years. Two of the groups that most recently they have listed as hate groups are the American Family Association and the other one, James Dobson's group. These are now hate groups, in the words of the Southern Poverty Law Center, because these groups oppose homosexuality. So, you know, this is the kind of organization you're talking about. And Mark Potok, the spokesman for the Southern Poverty Law Center, has even said, well, just because we list a group as a hate group doesn't mean that we are implying that they are violent or dangerous in some way. Of course they are. Of course they're suggesting that, because otherwise, why would they put out a report just calling somebody a hate group if they didn't want that association made with violence and with lawlessness? In any event, Chief Powdert agreed to speak at the beginning of this video, talking about the sovereignty movement or the sovereign citizens movement, and going over a few brief ways to identify someone claiming to be a sovereign citizen. Well, what's interesting to me in this video, and I watched the whole thing, Dave, it's 12 minutes long, and remember, it's being sent to every police force in the country of any size. What interests me was that they had an ATF spokesman on there, an expert, supposedly, on the sovereign citizen movement, and two of the examples that he used of this sort of movement and this sort of attitude and this sort of extremism was, one, Waco, where men, women, and children died in an inferno created by the ATF, and two, the standoff at Ruby Ridge, in which Randy Weaver lost his wife and his son to assassins from the FBI and the ATF. Now, in the case of Randy Weaver, it's particularly interesting he should bring that up, because the government ended up settling and giving several million dollars to Randy Weaver, basically admitting that what they did was wrong. But those are the two examples he used. So the ATF agent is on there, and all of the explanations about the sovereignty movement focus on false license plates, false identity, things that these people say. But in fact, what this video does is profile white patriots, white citizens, because everybody that Mark Potok is talking about, everybody the Southern Poverty Law Center is talking about, is going to be white. They are not going to pull over someone suspected of being a sovereign citizen if they're black or Hispanic, even though West Memphis is a corridor for illegal immigration and drugs. And that was one of the reasons that Chief Powder's son and the other officer were on patrol, was actually in a sort of a drug sweep, stopping people for drugs. And also, I want to mention this to the audience, the full report on that incident by the West Memphis Police Department has never been publicized, never been published. So we don't know all the facts in the case. I'm not saying the officers acted improperly or anything else. I'm saying we don't know all the facts. So now it's the Sovereign Citizens Movement, which is not a group, it's not an organization, it's not a cell, it's a collection of beliefs that some people share about the limits of government power. These are now the people who are going to be targeted by local police departments around the country because of this video. And make no mistake about it, the purpose of the SPLC video is to alienate local police forces from the citizens they vow to serve and protect, to create more suspicion, more anger, and more hostility between the police forces and the white patriotic citizens of this country. Racial profiling has now gone from being a crime when it's used against blacks, Hispanics, and other groups to being an absolute necessity when dealing with white Christian patriots. Now, Chief Fowler, again, I want to express my regret and my sorrow over the loss of your son. But, sir, I think you've made a grave mistake in associating yourself with an organization that spreads malice and hatred not only towards whites but against Christianity and good Christian organizations like the American Family Association and other Christian groups. This is the group that is attempting to bring down America. I don't know anything about the Sovereign Citizens Movement, but I can assure you they're far less a danger to America than the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Well said, Bill Rowland, and I want to thank you for coming on and hosting this hour. We hit a couple of very hard topics, two topics with, the gravest of circumstances surrounding them. I mean, in both stories, you're talking about actual loss of life and actions that could lead to more loss of life. And so nothing could be more serious, and I think you handled them both very well, striking, the great balance between righteous outrage and brilliance with your commentary. So I appreciate that, and I hope everybody listening around the world tonight appreciates that which Bill Rowland brought to the show this evening. Hard to kind of segue from an hour so serious into a more loose and fun hour, but that is what's right around the corner. But before we go into this third hour, which is going to be an open mic, we'll take your calls, we'll take your comments for everyone who is listening tonight on the Council of Conservative Citizens website, where they are participating in the Political Cesspool virtual fan party, the online chat. Bill, before we go, would you like to say everyone, say anything to everyone tuned in tonight at the CFCC website? Of course, Bill, you and I are both members of the Council of Conservative Citizens. It's an organization that we're glad to fight for.
Absolutely. And the Council of Conservative Citizens, if you're not a member, you need to join. It's the oldest and most successful pro-white organization in the country. We are pro-white. We don't make any apologies for that. And we're doing everything we can to prevent groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center from destroying your freedoms, destroying your rights, and, in fact, perhaps even taking your lives. So, you know, go to the council site. We are trying to raise some money right now. If you can afford it, please make a donation. We would love to have your support, and we would love to have you as a member.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Bill Rowland, co-hosting with me for tonight's second hour. We'll be back with more in the third hour right after this. Stay tuned.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.